The Lord be with you.
Welcome
in the name of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings as we enter in this most holy of weeks here at the church. Today is Palm Sunday, and each day we'll focus again and again on the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to save us from our sin. Today we examine the mind of Christ and the procession, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. A couple of words on our worship service. This Palm Sunday service is just a little bit different. After our announcements and opening prayer, we'll hear the Palm Sunday Gospel. And this is one of the few times in the year when the Gospel reading is the very first thing out of the chute. Then following that Gospel reading, we have our Palm Processional. We heard the hymn in our prelude, 444, No Tramp of Soldiers' Feet. The choir will sing the first verse, and then the congregation can join in whenever you want to with the remaining three verses. And during that hymn is when the Palm Processional will happen. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. We have a Palm Sunday insert. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Our focus today will be on the epistle reading from Philippians 2. Note that we're still in Lent, and we'll refrain from singing the hymn of praise, and we'll sing the Lenten responses. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And let's take a moment while we're getting organized in the back. And if there's anybody that wants to participate yet, young or young at heart, that's okay. Let's take a moment and greet one another. And if you don't know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with, find out. In Jesus, we are one. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of this day, the joy of the triumphal entry of your Son, our Savior, into Jerusalem. The joy of the children, the joy of the palm branches being waved, the joy and shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heavenly Father, we know that this joy is short-lived. We know where your Son is going. He's going to the cross for us and for our salvation. Heavenly Father, keep ever before us the joy and the reality of our sin, and help us to give thanks to you now and always for the forgiveness, life, and salvation that only Jesus could bring. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their colts, and then sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Hymn 444. The choir will sing verse 1. You may be seated.
Divine Service, setting number 1, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
To the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Maybe so.
Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you receive me to glory. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hymn 571.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning, that epistle reading from Philippians chapter 2, that wonderful section of Scripture laying out the humiliation and exaltation of Jesus for us, but especially that first verse, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Dear friends in Christ, don't we often live our lives wondering what Jesus is thinking, wondering what Jesus is up to? In fact, there was a huge, huge craze about 20 or 30 years ago, lingers on just a little bit today. T-shirts, hats, bracelets, wonderful marketing campaign. WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Somebody thought they were really clever. Somebody thought that they could encourage Christians to be more Christ-like and Christ-minded. And it caught on like wildfire. But it didn't take long. Before long, it turned into nothing more than a joke. The football announcers would plug in the name of their favorite team or coach or player instead of Jesus. When you want to tease or mock somebody, you plug in someone else's name, like what would Murundi do? The whole thing became quite a joke. And it really wasn't anything new. After all, the whole what would Jesus do craze was built on a book that was published, are you ready for this, in the 19th century by a Congregationalist pastor in Kansas. He was one of the proponents of the social gospel. And the social gospel is basically a term for we don't need as much cross and blood and Jesus stuff. It's all about what you do, how you act, your actions, deeds, not creeds. But that doesn't change the fact, does it? There are a lot of times we wonder what God is thinking. We wonder what is going on. We can honestly say, whether we have a bracelet on or not, what would Jesus do in this circumstance or situation? But there's a problem here, isn't there? Many times, we know what Jesus would do because it is clearly revealed to us in His Word. And we either don't know, or don't care what His Word says, or we flatly reject it. What would Jesus do? Well, here on this Palm Sunday, we don't have to wonder what Jesus would do. God's Word tells us. Jesus has been on a journey, a quest, and this journey is leading Him to Jerusalem, the final stop on that journey. It seems like Jesus has taken kind of an odd travel route to get there. But He's been very deliberate. His face set like flint toward Jerusalem. He has told everybody why He's going to Jerusalem. Repeatedly, He predicts what will happen there. The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He will be mocked. He will be beaten. He will be crucified. And on the third day, He will rise from the dead. And everybody who heard it dismissed it. Everybody who heard it thought Jesus was speaking in parables or metaphors. Sometimes, when people heard it, and they thought He was really serious about this journey, they tried to stop Him. No! No, Jesus! Don't go there! But to stop Jesus from His appointed destiny in Jerusalem is the work of Satan. Remember what Jesus told Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan! You have in your heart and in your mind the will of man. And so Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem. The people recognized Him as a mighty king, prophesied in all the Old Testament Scriptures, especially the Zechariah text that we had read for us just a few moments ago. But a different kind of a king. Not a king who would come and lead an army. Now His army's invisible. The army of angels. Not a king who would come and oppress the Romans or any of the other foreign nations or even the evil Jewish leaders. No. That's not how our king would act. Our king comes riding into Jerusalem not on a noble steed, but humbly, meekly, on a donkey. They don't roll out the red carpet. They chop down palm branches. They shout out, Hosanna! Save us! Save us now! We realize that many of the people wanted the wrong kind of a Savior. Because those cries of save us now became cries of crucify Him, crucify Him. Just a few short days later. What was on the mind of Christ as He entered into Jerusalem? Are you ready for this? You were on His mind. You were on His mind. Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem for you. He comes riding into Jerusalem because He knows that the only way for you to be saved from your sin and what that sin has earned, an eternity of separation from God in hell, the only salvation is the shed blood of God in the flesh. Jesus knows this. And He freely and willingly accepts what the Father has sent Him to do. We don't have to wonder what Jesus was thinking. We have to look to what God's Word says and what Jesus is doing. He rides into Jerusalem for you. And just exactly as Jesus predicted and just exactly as Scripture foretold, Jesus is arrested, beaten, mocked, crucified, dead, buried, and 3 days later, resurrected from the dead. And remember, everything Jesus does, He does for you. Save us! Save us now! Jesus hears that cry, and He comes to us in our need. He comes to us meekly. He comes to us humbly. We could not stand it if Jesus came in His full might and power among us. The people on Palm Sunday couldn't either. And so Jesus, robed in flesh and blood, Jesus in His humility, allows this suffering and death to happen to Him for us. My friends, Jesus still comes. In a few minutes, we'll cry out, we'll sing, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Save us now! Jesus will not come with lightning bolts and thunder. He will come meekly. and humbly, riding on bread and wine for us to eat and drink, to give us salvation, forgiveness, life and salvation, strength for this difficult journey that we are on this side of heaven. My friends, do not doubt the mind of Christ. God's word is clear. The mind of Christ is for you. The mind of Christ is for your salvation. God desires that all people hear the word of God and believe the good news. This is the mind of Christ for you. But it's not enough that we just know the mind of Christ. We're not exactly sure why Paul used this particular metaphor as he wrote to the Christians at the church in Philippi. Of course, the Holy Spirit did the writing. But there were probably some factions or divisions in the congregation. Maybe it had to do with something inside the church. Maybe it had had to do with something outside the church, like economics or politics. Doesn't really matter. The people were split. The people were divided. And so God, through the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church in Philippi as he writes to the church in Lincoln, Nebraska. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." God wants you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to have the mind of Christ in you. And He says you already do. It's yours. The mind of Christ was given to you as God clothed you, robed you with His righteousness in the waters of holy baptism. The death and resurrection of Jesus were delivered to you. The mind of Christ is in you. Don't we so often do everything humanly possible to not let the mind of Christ show in our lives? I would much rather have the mind of Poppy than the mind of Christ. I want what I want, and I want it now. My friends, we can hide behind catchy little phrases and slogans and bumper stickers. We know what Jesus would do. We know what Jesus would have us do. The mind of Christ calls us to be obedient to the will of the Father. And that obedience for us is summed up in one word: repent. Repent. To humble ourselves before Christ and His Word. To repent. To repent of always wanting what we want rather than listening to the Word of God. To repent of thinking our words or our mind or our thoughts somehow trump the Word of God in certain circumstances. To repent of hiding behind little slogans and phrases rather than being in God's house, hearing God's Word, and receiving God's gifts. This is why Jesus came into Jerusalem, to save us from our sins. This is why Jesus bled and died, because we could not save ourselves. This is why Jesus poured out His blood and gave up His life and picked it back up again 3 days later to give us forgiveness, life, salvation, and the mind of Christ. It's yours. It is yours in Christ Jesus. What does this mind of Christ look like in our lives? Well, when we turn to God's Word, we see that Jesus, who is God in the flesh, Jesus, who is true man and true God all at the same time, when Jesus was alone, when Jesus had worries or troubles because of the things that were crashing down upon Him, not in a sinful way, but in a burdensome way, Jesus went off by Himself to pray. The mind of Christ in His children is a mind that submits to God in prayer. Most Christians, most Lutherans that I know, talk very little about prayer and actually pray even less. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Pray. What does the mind of Christ look like among us, brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus knew the Holy Scriptures. He quoted them often. He defeated Satan and Satan's temptations by simply speaking a word. How often do we read, mark, learn, and study the Holy Scriptures? How well are we versed in what God's Word actually says for us? How well do we know not only the mind of Christ as revealed to us in Scriptures, but the actions, the words, the deeds of Christ? Too often, we act as if church is just something we do for a short portion of the day, and anything extra, a devotion, a reading of Scripture, Bible study, Sunday school, is just too much. How dare we be labeled as some kind of a religious fanatic? Or Jesus freak. My friends, having the mind of Christ means clinging to the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, reading them, studying them, singing them, steeping or immersing ourselves in God's Word. Dads, head of the household, this is your responsibility to be doing this with your children. And moms, to encourage dads, and if dads can't or won't, for you to do it as well. What does the mind of Christ look like in the life of a Christian? Well, Jesus showed respect. He showed respect for others. He showed respect for people in the church, even when He vehemently disagreed with what they were doing. He even showed respect for the civil authorities. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Look around, friends. Look around. How little respect is there for one another? How little respect is there for brothers and sisters, neighbors, people in our communities, in the church, and certainly in our nation, in our world, with our political leaders? My friends, having the mind of Christ does not mean that we are all carbon copy cookie cutter people and that we will all think and do exactly the same way. Absolutely not. But it means that as individuals, the individuals that God has made us, We will treat one another, even those that we completely disagree with, we will treat them as a gift of God, as a creation of God, and with respect. To pray. To hear God's Word and believe it and live it. To respect one another. This is what having the mind of Christ among us looks like. It doesn't take much to realize that oftentimes the mind of Christ, while it lives and dwells in us, God promises it, it doesn't show. My friends, when our sin is exposed, when we are shown to not live the mind of Christ, when we are shown that we have sinned daily and much, here is perhaps where the mind of Christ comes out the most. Not proud and arrogant and justifying our sin and our actions, but humbly confessing our sin to God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the mind of Christ for you. The forgiveness of your sin. Life and salvation. Jesus has come to bring life and bring it to the full. That is what He has done for you. And He has given it to you in Jesus Christ. You don't have to wonder what would Jesus do. You can boldly say, I know what Jesus has done. He has lived a perfect life for me. He has died on Calvary's cross for me. He is risen from the dead, never to die again. He is with me in His Word. He is with me in His sacraments. Never will He leave me. Never will He forsake me. My friends, may this mind of Christ, which is in you, flourish among us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, this morning we confess the Baptismal Creed, the Apostles' Creed, page 159. Please stand as you're able. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In addition to the prayers listed in your news and notes, we remember the family of Wendy Schultz, whose father, Lewis, was taken to his heavenly home this week. Let us pray for the church, that she may be defended against all enemies, be kept from error, and be made bold to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear. Almighty God, as once the people welcomed your Son with palms and hosannas, grant to us your Spirit that we may welcome with faith Him who comes in the name of the Lord. Grant us grace that we may make known Jesus Christ and Him crucified here and throughout the world, that your kingdom may come and your saving will may be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, as you have done, so continue to raise up faithful pastors, missionaries, and church workers, that your word may be preached and taught in all of its fullness. We especially pray for Dr. Allman and his family as they transition from the mission field. We pray for Pastor Preuss in the Dominican Republic, that you would bless his work. We pray for our school and preschool, and especially Mr. Keith Varigay as he considers our call. Grant your Spirit to renew the faithful, bring those in darkness to faith by the hearing of your word, and help us to manifest your love and mercy in all our doings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have set apart the nations, and you hold our leaders accountable for all that they do. Give us wise, faithful, and honest leaders who will punish evil and encourage godly living. Bring an end to conflict, terror, and violence, and foster your peace among the nations and within our own land. Bless President Trump, the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts, and the legislature of this state, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they may act with integrity for the good of all and for your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son bore all our weakness, sin, and death in his body, that we may be granted grace sufficient for all of our needs. Hold us in your hand, bind up our wounds, and deliver us from all our needs, that we may know your perfect peace. And we especially this day pray for Jerry, Celeste, Maureen, Ed, Marianne, Sonia, Laura Lee, Diane, Dwayne, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Anna, Larry, Carl and Callie, Warren, Kay, Bridgette and Sophie, Beth, Ralph, Mark, Betty, Robert, the son-in-law of Raleigh and Marge, Paris, Kristen, Desi, Kimberly, Raleigh, Bob, Cassie, and Carolyn. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son walked the way of the cross to win life through his death and to bring an end to all tears. Grant the peace and joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to all who mourn, especially the family of Genevieve, the family of Levon, Jay and Lindsay, the family of Melissa, whose grandfather was taken to his eternal home, the family of Brett, and the family of Lewis. Grant the peace and joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have sent forth your only Son to redeem your captive people from their sin and the power of death by means of his suffering, death, and resurrection. Keep us in the solemn remembrance of our Lord's passion, that we may be moved to repentance and strengthened in our faith, and by the communion of his flesh and blood, proclaim his death until he comes again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Of Jesus. At this time, we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who sends his Son to save us would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
stand for the offertory, page 159. Good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of you, of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." The same way also He took the cup after supper. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace and with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give to you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 422.
And welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you want to go get some goodies? We'll be back in here in about, 7 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening. If you look on the back of your bulletin today, you have a complete schedule for the special services during Holy Week. We have opportunities to worship each day. I know for some of you, this is different. You've maybe never been in a church where you had an opportunity to go to church every day during Holy Week. The design is so that the last third of the Gospel of John is pretty much read in its entirety throughout Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the little bit we don't get is picked up during the season of Easter. So the Gospel of John is heavily emphasized this week and during the season of Easter. And so if you, with the mind of Christ, desire to spend a little extra time in God's Word, that might be a place to start. John chapter 12 is where Palm Sunday begins. John chapter 12. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30. We're getting closer and closer to our junior confirmation. We have 10 junior confirmands this year. Please keep them in your prayers. Wednesday evening, as a part of the service, we have part 4 of our questioning. Monday and Tuesday, we'll pick up the last 3 of our essays. Monday, Thursday, 12:15 and 6:30, same service. Good Friday, 12:15 and 7:30, different services. The afternoon service focuses on the 7 times Jesus spoke from the cross. The 7:30 Friday service is the service of darkness. Easter Vigil at 6 o'clock, and rather than have the remembrance of baptism as a part of the Easter Vigil,